Welcome back. Today I want to talk about the sign of Jonah and how it's taken a turn, a serious turn in my mind. That's how I see this. With the help of some friends and family, we're able to make some connections with Revelation chapter 15 and how the sign of Jonah fits this great and marvelous sign as described in that chapter. So today we're going to talk about the sign of Jonah, this upcoming eclipse of on April 8, 2024, and the seven angels holding the last seven plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. So we'll start off by reading Revelation chapter 15, verse 1. So stick around. Things are about to get very interesting. Revelation chapter 15, verse 1. And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. So I want to talk about this in depth. Before I do, I think it necessary to take in a stellarium and let's first have a look at this upcoming eclipse, this April 8th, 2024 total eclipse. Let's have a look at it, and then we can discuss it, because this is like the climax of this sign of Jonah, the great and marvelous sign that this is all built around, is this eclipse, and how everything in here is connected and fits together, and it's like the hub of this sign. So let's go in and have a look at it. We'll come back and we'll talk about it. So let's have a look at this eclipse. Got the location set here for Carbondale, Illinois. I thought that was the best place to have a look. It's the central location. It's the spot where the two paths of the eclipse cross. I just thought it was fitting to have it here. The date is April 8th. And the beginning of the eclipse starts at 12:42 in Carbondale. The peak in Carbondale is 2:01. You'll have to check your local times to see when the peak is in your area. But a half an hour before the peak begins to noticeably get darker. So let's have a look. We'll start going forward in time here. And the peak is at 2:01. On this clock, it'll be 14:01. As it gets darker, the first star to pop out is Venus. And the next one to pop out is Jupiter. And then Saturn and Mars. And we have it here, 2:01. This is what I wanted to show you, was that the whole host of heaven, naked eye luminaries from Jupiter to Mars are right here. Mercury is so close to the sun and the moon, it may be difficult to see this day. So I want to turn off the atmosphere just to show you where everything else is. I'll turn on the constellations and the artwork just to make it a little more familiar. You have Jupiter here. Uranus is right beside Jupiter. The comet is just to the right of Jupiter. Then you have the eclipse in the fish. Venus is right here. And Saturn and Mars is right there. Neptune, you won't be able to see it. You'll need a telescope for that one. But it's between Venus and Saturn. And then you have the big whale here, the sign of Jonah. Well, turn the art off. The labels off. That's just the star pattern. Now I'll turn all that off. And I'll turn the atmosphere back on. So this will be what it looks like during the eclipse, like a simulated version of it. So we'll go forward in time. Saturn and Mars, the first ones to disappear. Then Jupiter. And the last one to go is Venus. The end of this eclipse, the official end time, is 3:18. It'll be 15:18 on this clock. And it'll be back to the normal strength of the sun. Well, let's go and we'll talk about this.
So that was the eclipse. And this, this the
the climax of the sign of Jonah and what I believe is the great and marvelous sign as described in Revelation chapter 15, verse 1. I really did until I started reading further down in the chapter. And verses 5, 6, and 7 is when my theory here started to fall apart. And it fell apart so badly that I actually looked at this sign in the heavens, the sign of Jonah, and I said, you know, it fits chapter 15, verse 1. It fits that in my mind. It fits it. But the rest didn't fit. And this really bothered me. And it took, and I'll walk you through the process because this is very important. This is where I have to give a shout out to a family in Hawaii. It's a grandmother, a mother, and she said, sent me an email and said, talk to my daughter. So I received that email and I thought, okay. And they described what they were talking about because they were talking about Revelation chapter 15. The sign, you know, the sign of Jonah here that I just put on the shelf. So I kept carrying on. I was looking through Stellarium into the future, looking for another sign that could possibly fit this great and marvelous sign. After 2 days of searching and coming up with nothing, I had to take a break. So I went to the emails and I'm like, oh yeah, that email. I'm like, okay, well, you know what? I'll go and we'll have a conversation. So we had a conversation. It was a great conversation and it was a very needed conversation. I believe God sent a messenger. I really do. I can't express that any more than like something in the spirit. Like they must have been prompted to reach out and talk about this. They didn't know. They had no idea. No idea I was researching this. So for them to get a message, and I ignored it for 2 days. So shame on me, because I should have dropped everything and contacted them right away. But maybe I'm a bit stubborn, or I get so hyper focused on a task at hand that I wanted to play it out to the end. And then when I came to the dead end, I was like, okay. So then I went back anyway. Make a long story short, spoke to them. It was good because after speaking with Micklin, we came to an agreement that, yeah, this has to be the sign of Jonah fits Revelation 15:1. And so there must be something that we were missing because a lot of the technicalities in this, and I'm going to read it now because otherwise it won't make any sense to you if you haven't read this and make it all pertain. So we're going to go read verses 5, 6, 7. And we'll come back and we'll talk about it. So I want to read chapter 15, verses 5, 6, 7, and 8. Okay. And after that, I looked and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was opened. And the seven angels came out of the temple, having the seven plagues, clothed in pure and white linen, and having their breasts girded with golden girdles. And one of the four beasts gave unto the seven angels seven golden vials full of the wrath of God, who liveth for ever and ever. And the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God, and from his power, and no man was able to enter in the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were fulfilled. So that was verses 5 to 8 from Revelation chapter 15. And the word temple became stumbling block because it says the angels were coming out of the temple. And it sounds like coming out all at the same time. So there's two problems with that. When I seen looking in the heavens up to this point, I see two angels in the temple. And I refer the temple as the lamb or the ram because of the information I got from chapter 1. But only Jupiter was in there that's a visible. Out of the seven stars that are visible, being Mercury, Venus, the Sun, the Moon, Mars, Saturn, and Jupiter, Jupiter was the only one that's visible in the temple. Uranus is there, but it's like you need help to see it. You need binoculars or a telescope to see it. So it doesn't fit about the main seven stars that I believe needs to be done in this sign. So I want to read a little bit of Revelation chapter 1 to make the connection of the ram being like the temple. And because the information I'm going to read there too is going to be important later on. So it's going to grab a little bit of more information and we'll talk about it. So we're in Revelation chapter 1. Just going to scroll down till we get to verse 13. Okay. In the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with the golden girdle. His head and his hairs were like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. The mystery of the seven stars, which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. So we gathered some more information, and the big key in that, what we read there, was verse 13, where in the midst of the candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man. And there's more indicators too. Like my son even pointed out, we were driving around the one night, and I was getting him to read some scriptures, and he'd make comments after it. And one of the comments was when he pointed at it had the hair, the white hair like wool, and he made the connection about the lamb, right, being the lamb. He also said some other things too. I'm going to get into that too, because one of the things he said really, it was like the breaking of the dam. It just allowed me to see things that really opened up. And yeah, my son Luke, he's a pretty smart guy. And so sometimes when we're driving, I'll get him to read some scriptures and we'll talk about it. And, you know, we work on these things together too. So yeah, it was pretty good. So in the midst of the candles, one like the Son of Man, and it's Jesus being equated to the lamb, the ram in the heavens. Because when you start looking at Revelation, the book of Revelation, it's so much of it is about the stars. If you can grasp the fact that this book talks about the heavens and John saying, I saw this and I saw that, you know, he's seeing so much in the heavens, and it's describing events in the future, which I think they're now. And once you understand that, it can help unlock all these mysteries about what's happening during the times of all these signs. So that was a very big unlocking of the book of Revelations when you grasp that a lot of it's about the stars, it's about the heavens. Okay, so we're gathering information, and the problems I was having with chapter 15 was the temple and the tabernacle. So we had kind of go back to the basics of all this again and reanalyze the basics of what we know. And so far, like the tabernacle itself is the heavens. The big tabernacle is the heavens. You can get this from Isaiah chapter 40, verse 22. It talks about a tent being stretched over the earth, like, and a tabernacle is a tent, okay? Moses built the tabernacle, the big, big, almost like a curtain fence around the perimeter, and then inside that was a tabernacle. So there's a tabernacle, and then there's a tabernacle inside the tabernacle. So, and I think I already knew what that was as well. The big tabernacle is all the heavens. The second tabernacle, which I think is the the constellations that run from the rider on horse, which equates the earth, all the way to the crab or the eagle, which equates air and has the beehive in that one too. I believe that is a tabernacle within the tabernacle. And in the middle of that, I believe, is the temple, which is the ram or the lamb, right? It equates Christ quite literally. You know, he's the sacrifice lamb for all, for our sins, for all mankind. One time sacrifice for all time, for all people. Thank you, Jesus. So that is the temple. And so here we have the pieces, the tabernacle and the tabernacle within the tabernacle and the temple. And the stumbling block I was getting was all the angels, which we know are stars because Revelation says so, they're leaving the temple at the same time. And I only seen the one star, Jupiter, in the temple. There's two in there, but Uranus is, you can't see with the naked eye. And I believe the ones that we're talking about that we can see with the naked eye is Mercury, Venus, the sun, the moon, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn. That's seven. And that's the one I believe we're talking about here. I really do. Because there can only be seven. So that was the information that I was hung up on. And now I'm going to go read Revelation chapter 15, verse 5. Okay? Because now we're going to unlock it. Because we have the problem. Cannot figure out how the angels can leave the temple all at once. Because I went forward in time looking for that sign. I looked for a sign where all the stars are in the temple, in the lamb, the ram, and they leave all at the same time. And I went looking very far in the future. I went over 100 years. 100 years into the future, I did not see anything close to it. The closest thing of six luminaries being in one constellation at once is coming up on June 6th, the 666 sign, right? June 6th on 2024, the last two and the four digits adds up to be six as well. And there's six luminaries in the constellation of the beast or the bull all on that day. Can't make that up. And I think it's a big, it's the, it is the fifth thunder, the thunders that we've been following in the heavens of this pattern. It happens to be on that day and that time. So that too is very profound. But anyway, I went in the future and looked for a time where all seven of those stars, the luminaries, the angels were in the temple and all leave at once. And I could not find it. I looked for over 100 years, can't find it. So I was back to this great and marvelous sign and wondering how it's going to fit. And I'm going to show you how it's going to fit because my son Luke said something after he read some scripture. So we're going to go and read that scripture now. We'll come back and I'll reveal what he said to unlock this mess because I was frustrated. I was just like, I thought, well, maybe we're just not going to be able to solve it. But thank you, Lord, for the messenger. Micklin and her mom sent me an email, kind of stopped me in my tracks to stop looking further ahead and wasting time and just focus on this. So I did that. So let's go read Revelation chapter 15, verse 5 and 5 and 6, and then we'll come back and we'll talk about it. So here we have Revelation chapter 15. I asked my son, Luke, if he wanted to take part in solving a mystery, because I know he loves doing this. He said, sure. So I was driving the van. I said, do you mind reading Revelation chapter 15? And then I'll tell you the spots that I'm struggling with. So he read the chapter. It's a short chapter. It's only eight verses. And then I told him that I was struggling with verses 5 and 6. So he spoke, and what he said was pretty amazing. And I'm going to reveal that, what he said, after I read verses 5 and 6. We'll go talk about it. It says, and after I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was opened. And the seven angels came out of the temple, having the seven plagues, clothed in pure and white linen, and having their breasts girded with golden girdles. So we'll go back and talk about it. So when Luke finished up reading chapter 15, I told him I struggled with verses 5 and 6. And I said, I can't see how all the angels, the stars, can come out of the temple all at the same time. I said, I don't understand that. So he spoke. He says, what if they come out during the eclipse when the moon covers the sun and it goes dark and all of a sudden you can see the stars, the angels? And then I thought, just wow. When he said the word sun, it made the connection in my mind, right? Because the tabernacle, from the earth to the air, you have the earth, the sea, the rivers and fountains, the fourth one, the middle one is the sun, right? And talking about the sun going dark and the angels coming out of the temple is that the light. So a few things came to mind right away. Because I thought, well, if the sun, constellation of sun, represents the sun down here, then in the temple, it can move. I thought maybe the other six, right? The earth, the sea, the rivers and fountains, the beast, Euphrates River, and the air, maybe there's a corresponding star to each and every one of them, and they can move around too, and that can help in telling of these stories, right? Using the physical to teach about principal concepts in the science. So that was one of the things. Another one was a flashback to the Gospels, when Jesus used to speak, because he would speak using physical parables to teach spiritual principles. And he did that all the time, right? All the time. So you flash back forward to Revelation, and we know Jesus is in heaven right now. And it's like, he's not done doing this. He's using the physical, right? The stars to teach spiritual principles. And a verse comes to mind that's in Revelation. I'm going to put it up now. I'm going to read it. And we'll come back and talk about it, because this really started to open up a lot about the temple and the light. So much more to talk about here. So I'm going to show you that scripture. I'll read it. We'll come back and we'll talk about it. So here's the verse, Revelation chapter 16, verse 15. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. So, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. So, here's how I connected all this in my mind. This is how I see it. Okay? The light. If you're clothed in the light, they see your shame. Now, how is this? It's like a physical thing. How is this related to spiritual? Well, Jesus Christ, he died on the cross. His blood cleanses us, right? He takes our sins. He washes them white as snow. If you're not washed in the blood of Christ, you are still carrying your sins around. It's like you're walking naked. You're carrying your sins. You're showing your shame, right? It's like walking naked. So when I read this, I say, well, if you're covered in the light, that means you're covered in the blood of Jesus Christ. This is how I see the physical as teaching the spiritual principles again, right? It's like Jesus hasn't stopped doing it. He's doing it in Revelation here. That's the way I see it. And because up at that point, I never really quite understood what that actually meant. I'll be honest. I just one of those things is like, I don't know. I'll take that on the shelf and put it back to come back later, you know? And I file things up there that I don't get. And I just carry on because that's how I've done to learn. And then eventually those pieces get used. It's like, oh, I understand that now. So that's how I see this. The light is like being covered in the blood of the Lamb, because he is the Lamb. The Lamb is the Lamb. And then in the heavens, the Lamb is the sun as well. So the light is like you're covered in the blood. So that's how I see that. And this, the moon covering the sun and the light going out, making the stars and the angels visible, this piece of the puzzle to me now fit like a glove, and it fit perfect. And I remember after he told me, my son told me, we pulled over, we think we went to the parking lot, and I called up Micklin, in Hawaii there, and I told her the good news. I was like, hey, I think we have a fit here. Because I felt like it was really important that she agree. Because it's like, if God sends you a messenger, that's the way I felt, was like a messenger saying, hey, stop looking forward. Because they didn't even know I was looking forward. But, and they didn't even know I was studying this. So it just, to me, it was just like, okay, God knows. God knows. And it's like a messenger to me. So I'm like, okay. So I was waiting and she agreed. And I was like, great. That's confirmation. Good. It's a fit. So yeah. Okay, good. You agree. I agree. Good. Good. So now that this fit, I was able to look further, and I got a few goodies here to show you. The first one I want to show you is the menorah. This is the menorah that Truth, Love, Light found. She emailed me. She's a great person. We talked about it, and I just said, yeah, that's amazing. That you found like seven gems. I think I said that to her. You found seven gems there. That's amazing. And yeah, so I want to show that because after this kind of like a revelation of the sun, and then the sun can move, the temple can move, it made me think that maybe this menorah is revealing the spots in which all the other stars or angels fit in their corresponding houses or tabernacles, right? So I want to show you guys can be the judge. I'll run through, I'll throw out my hypothesis, see what you guys think, and maybe you guys can put in the comments where you guys think they belong, if it isn't the right order. So we'll go and we'll have a look at the menorah, and we'll talk about that. So this is a screenshot of the menorah from the Stellarium, and it's the one that was on March 13th, the 313. It was the one that Truth, Love, Light had found, and I think it's amazing. We know the sun is in the right spot, right? Because it's the middle tabernacle, it's the temple in the middle. So let's look at these other ones, the other wandering luminaries, and see how they might correlate with the areas like the earth, the sea, the rivers and fountains, the beast, Euphrates River, and the crowd or the air. So Mars and Earth, maybe they're connected because Mars represents war, and war happens a lot on Earth, right? So especially since the fall in the garden. The world has been changed. Venus is the brightest star. Perhaps the sea reflects light, so we get this duality being reflection of the light, and the sun can reflect, or the Venus reflects the sun's light. That's a connection I see on that one, because it's being the brightest. Saturn being rivers and fountains, perhaps the rings around Saturn are like rivers flowing around the light. Just to throw it out there. This is mostly just for entertainment purposes, this segment of the video. And because I really do hope that the Lord God was trying to show us where these belong. Now, Mercury, I'm stumped. I really am. I'm stumped with Mercury. The only thing about Mercury and the beast is that the bull writes almost, the shape of it is like an alpha in the Paleo Hebrew, the original alpha. And it represents the first, right? And Mercury is the fastest, right? It's an 88-day cycle. So it's number one for speed. So maybe that's the connection. I don't know exactly on this one. That's just a hypothesis. Okay, so the moon matching the Euphrates River, which also has the constellation of Gemini, which is the twins. I think maybe the moon could be like twins because it has a light side and a dark side. It'll go bright, it'll go away. It's like two-faced in a way. And Gemini has two faces. It's twins, right? That's the way I see that one. And Jupiter, perhaps it is the man-child, Jesus, right? And it represents the air. And if it's an eagle, which I think it is, there's so many scriptures that would correlate to our, you know, our refuge being underneath the wings of the eagle. And Jupiter came from the man-child. We followed it like the proxy for Jesus. We followed it all the way through. And it's over here now. So maybe that's what it is. I don't know. If you have any suggestions or any, or if you actually know where they belong, let me know. That would be great. Because I'm just going by this menorah. And I know that in the Revelations, it says in the end days that all mysteries will be revealed. So maybe the Lord is revealing them in the stars. I don't know. Just putting it out there. All right, so let's go back and we'll have a talk about it. So overall, the menorah is a beautiful work of art. I think the Lord God and his handiwork did it. It's amazing. It's amazing. You know, how often do you get the sun being right in the center of the, right, in the heavens? It's not very common, that's for sure. Happening on the March 13th, the 3-1-3 day, you have three candles, one candle, and then three candles. This happens to be the only day it can that it actually works on, and it happens on that day. You also have, it's 40 days from March 13th until April 22nd, when the Devil Comet is in the bowl of the foot of the beast. And it's the last day of its brightest magnitude of a 4.42. So that's kind of interesting too. That's really all I have to say about the menorah. I wonder if it's a symbolism of the temple and in part of this sign of this great and marvelous sign, Revelation 15. I wonder if it was part of showing this the temple there because of how great this sign is. It makes me wonder if the sign is that great, that it goes spans that long. I don't know. It could, but I do know that the April 8th eclipse and the sun going down and the angels coming out of the temple, the light fades, that is a perfect fit. That makes sense. And of all the signs that I've looked at in the future, I even looked at other eclipses. There's 56 total eclipses from now until 2100. So that's 76 years. There's 56 total eclipses. I looked at them all. None of them are quite like this. There was only one other one in 2060 that was anywhere close to this, but it really wasn't, the luminaries weren't spread out all across the whole of the whale. And it also was missing some, you know, it's missing some amazing things, the pattern, the order of everything, right? Because we started all this from following Jupiter from the man child, right? Jupiter, man child, Jesus. We followed it all, and then we discovered there was another wonder in heaven. It was the dragon, right, stalking the man child, and it came all the way down, and now it's pursuing, and it's really close in this sign. It's telling the story of Revelation 12. So the one in 2060 doesn't have that. So yeah. So I looked forward, but this is it. This is the sign that I think after looking hundreds of years ahead, well, just over 100 years ahead, it's the only one to me that can be this great and marvelous sign. I think it's the one that's filling up the bowls. And that's what I want to show you next, because I also had a hypothesis. Is it possible to see these bowls being passed out and getting filled up? And I think it is. I think there is. And I want to show you because I think this is really neat. It is amazing, actually. So I want to go in and show you this, my hypothesis of when these bowls are being filled up. And it's like as they come into place, they're getting filled up. So I want to show you that now. I'll go and show you. We'll come back and we'll have a talk about it.
So here we are. We're back. April 8th at the eclipse. Just before the eclipse, it's noon. But what I wanted to show you here was the stars we know are angels. And I wanted to show you when I think that these angels are getting their bowls filled up. So in order to do that, I'm going to click on Jupiter, because Jupiter is the first angel or star to get in position for this eclipse with its bowl already filled up. So in order to do this, we're going to go back in time, because I think the water bearer pouring out the water symbolizes the bowls getting filled up, filling the angels' bowls up. And I want to walk you through it, because there's some pretty interesting numbers and some coincidences that that just seem like they're not coincidences. They seem planned, and to make it all part of this great and marvelous sign. And it just all fits together. So I'm going to go back in time. I'll go a month at a time, because it takes a while. If you notice, go back 2 months, the whole area is clear. All the stars are gone, but only Jupiter's here. So Jupiter got its bowl filled up a long time ago. And a matter of fact, it was back in 2022. Okay, so I'm going to zoom in on Jupiter here. I'm just going to go forward in time day by day, and we'll watch. Well, just center it here. We'll watch Jupiter get its bowl filled up. Okay, right here. I believe Jupiter is getting its bowl filled up right here, and it just happens to happen on this 2-2-2-2-2 day, like February 22nd, 2022. I just think that is rather amazing. That in itself to me is amazing, but if we go forward to the eclipse, April 8th, and if we count the days from this moment of the 2-2-2-2-2-2 day, it's 777 days from February 22nd, 2022. So all those twos to the eclipse, it's 777 days. I think that's rather remarkable. I think that, to me, it kind of makes a statement that this hypothesis might be true. Bowls getting filled up as the stars, as the angels pass under the water bearer. So Jupiter goes and gets set up. Now the next one to get filled up is Mercury, and that is March 1st, 2024. This is what I believe. So I'm going to go forward. Jupiter's in place, and we have Mercury coming in. So I'm just going to click on Saturn for a point of reference, because he doesn't move around too quickly. And then I can bring in Mercury. And as it gets closer, I will zoom in. So there's Mercury. If I just back up a couple of hours, Mercury is on the blue line getting filled up. Just zoom in a little bit, go forward. The sun gets filled up on the same day, March 1st. Mercury, the sun, get their bowls filled up by the water bearer. Just it's symbolism. It's symbolism, but the numbers and everything seem to match up. It's 39 days until the eclipse. Mercury and the sun, 39 days. The next one to get filled up is Venus. Venus gets filled up on March 22nd. Let's go forward here, and it gets filled up March 22nd. And that one is 18 days until the eclipse. Next one to get filled up is Saturn. So we'll go forward. And yeah, this one's pretty interesting, because on this on this day, there is the same day that, I'm just going to find him, there he is, the Dragon Comet. At the same time, Saturn is getting filled, this bowl filled up, we have the Dragon Comet coming through the neck of the ram right here. You can see the comet coming through the neck of the ram. Same time, Saturn is getting filled up. That, I thought, was rather interesting. Just can't make this stuff up. Okay, so Mars is next. Let's bring Mars in. And this one, too, is very interesting. I'm going to zoom in. Well, the moon got filled up on the 6th of April. Sorry about that. Forgot about the moon. Can't forget about the moon. I just want to keep Saturn as the spot holder here. Okay, so go forward in time. The moon right here getting filled up on April 6th. And that's just 2 days before the eclipse. And then let's bring in Mars. Mars is the last one to get filled up. And Mars, actually, if we zoom in here, bring in the precise time of the eclipse, which is in Carbondale was 2:01, which is 14:01 on my clock here. Just back this up to the precise minute. And I think right here that at the exact same time the eclipse is going on, that Mars is getting his bowl filled up. I just think that's amazing. That this is Revelation 15:1. And these all the stars that are here around the sign of Jonah, they're all ready and they have the bowls are filled up. That's the way I see it. And it's just a hypothesis. I mean, it doesn't necessarily have to happen that way, but I just, when I checked it out, it kind of, there were some really fascinating numbers, and yeah, I want to share that with you. Let me know in the comments what you think. I think it fits. The fact that Jupiter started out on the 2-2-2-2-2-2 day, and it happens to be 777 days away, and it finishes up with Mars on the precise minute of the eclipse getting filled up. I just think that is pretty amazing. And I'll say it again, just because I'm saying these angels are getting their bowls filled up, I'm not saying that they're pouring them out on this day. No. No, I don't think so. They're just getting their bowls filled up. So they're at the ready that they can pour the bowls out and another day, but not this day. I just want to make that clear. Okay, so let's go and talk about this. So I want to show you Revelation chapter 4, verse 7. I just want to read it to you because this is an indicator of one of the beasts that give these angels the bowls of wrath. So I wanted to read them all. So it says here, the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf, and the third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. So this would be Leo the lion of Judah. This one would be the bull, you know, the beast. The third beast had a face as a man. I believe this to be the water bearer, and this is where the angels got their bowls filled up. And the fourth beast was like a flying eagle, which I think is the crab. I just wanted to show you that, and I want to show you one more scripture. So I want to bring you back to Revelation chapter 15 and read verse 7. And one of the four beasts gave unto the seven angels seven vials full of the wrath of God, who liveth forever and ever. So the last scripture showed you that it's possible that the water bearer, being one of the beasts, gave the angels the seven golden vials full of the wrath of God. Just want to show you that just to help support my hypothesis. But yeah, let me know in the comments what you think.
So that's the hypothesis about the bowls being filled up. It was just something I thought about. I thought I'd check it out. And when I checked it out, yeah, there was some pretty crazy stuff going on there. And I thought maybe the crazy stuff was because it was planned that way. I don't know. It sure looks like it. What are the odds of Jupiter being filled up on 2-2-2-2-2-2 day and it being 777 days until the actual eclipse? And in Saturn getting filled up the day that the dragon, the devil comet's going right through the neck of the ram, like right there beside Hamel. That's amazing. And Mars, the last one to be filled up, happens right on the minute of the eclipse. It kind of looked confusing because I had the red arrows on Saturn. It was off of the water stream. So if you thought that that was Mars, go back again and have a look. It was the one, not the one that had the arrows on it, but it was the one beside that. Mars was the one that didn't have the arrows around it, but it was right in the water stream. The precision of it being right in the center of the water stream, right on the minute that the eclipse happens. I don't know. It looks kind of planned to me. It looks too good. So yeah. So either way, even if we never find out how the bowls are filled up, to me, I think that's the way it was, but the bowls are filled up. The angels are at the ready. They have the bowls with the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. Now, I'm not saying that that's the day they're going to be poured out. No, they're just received the bowls, and Jupiter was holding its bowl possibly for the last 2 years as they came in. And it was, some of them went around a lot, but it was the last time they went through was when they would have got filled up going into place, right? Because Mercury would have run around a couple of times, same with the Venus too, and the Moon would have went around a lot, but it was the last time they went through the waterfall to get in place for this great and marvelous sign. That's the hypothesis that I think it is. But yeah, so the angels are at the ready. They have the bowls. Who knows how long it's going to be until the Lord says start to pour them out on the areas. I don't know, right? Time is definitely short. If you do not have Jesus, let's talk. Send me an email. We can talk. You need Jesus. I know there's a lot of people that do. You know, we need to pray for more harvesters. Get out there and do the most we can do with the time we have left. I don't know how much time we have left. I don't know. Every time I do a video, I in the back of my mind is like, this is the last video I ever make. I don't know, because I really don't know what the future holds. All I'm doing is looking at the heavens and finding matches in the book of Revelation. I don't really have one timeline. There was a time that I just kept my mind open. It's like, I'll trust what I see in the heavens and match in scripture over me trying to pick a time. Because if I pick a time, I'm probably going to be wrong. So there was a time when I had multiple timelines instead of just one. I had multiple timelines. They don't have a lot of time. Some of them surpassed and it kind of expired, if you will, because they just didn't come out. So right now I have like two floating around my head. Either we are at the end, I believe at some point, I've said it before, we can't get to heaven in these bodies, right? This is our flesh. We need to have that change, and that change, our celestial bodies, that change, I think it's the rapture. I think that that's when the change comes. Those who are still alive and here, that they remain, I think that's when we get raptured. I think that we had to live through a lot of stuff. I think we already have lived through a lot of stuff. I also think there's another possibility here too, is that we're at the halfway point. and this eclipse could be the halfway point, you know, and things are about to get crazy like we've never seen. And I know things are already crazy, but when I mean crazy, I mean like things that are unheard of, like the scriptures that you would say men's hearts are failing them for what's coming on the earth. And I think that could be coming. And now whether or not the Lord says, you know, we're out of here or we got to endure through it, that's up to the Lord. But we need to stay with the Lord, right? We should be, as we learn here, like we need to be clothed in the light. We need to be covered in the Lamb's blood. We need to have Jesus as our Lord and Savior, right? And I'm not sure how you could lose your light except if you took the mark, but I think you can repent of it because I think God can do all things. And if you thought you took the mark, Revelation chapter 12, verse 11 kind of walks you through that. You overcome it by the blood of the Lamb. You know, you just repent, you turn, and you do it no more, you know, because I think there has to be a form of worship. And I think that in the form of worship is repeating, right? And maybe it is a repeating of taking the mark. I don't know. But I think if you have and you're worried that you've lost your light, then the Lord Jesus, the blood of the Lamb, can restore you back to the way you were. I know He can. The Bible says so, right? Trust in the Lord. Not in our own understanding, but just in all our ways, trust in Him. That's how I see it. He's the great physician. He can fix anything. There's nothing's impossible with Him. Now, if you're still here, still have a chance. I've always believed that. If you're still here, you still have a chance. There's nothing you can do that would make you totally damned unless it is unrepentance, unless you do not want to change, right? And there's some of the scriptures that pop out to my mind. It's like, those who try and save their life will lose their life. Those who are willing to lose their life will gain life. These are the type of scriptures that I'm talking about. And I hope you understand what I'm actually really saying by saying this. And I say it in such a way that AI can't figure out what I'm saying. So if you know your word, you can talk in code and without having getting this taken down. So that's what I have to do if I want to have this up for any longevity. Hopefully this thing I'm talking about stars. I don't know. So anyway, that's all I have for you today. I just want to thank you for coming out. God bless you. I love you all very much. And until the next video.